Step into the world of power, loyalty, and luck.
I'm gonna make him an offer he can't refuse.
With family, cannolis, and spins mean everything.
Now, you wanna get mixed up in the family business.
Introducing The Godfather at ChumbaCasino.com. Test your luck in the shadowy world of The Godfather slot.
Someday, I will call upon you to do a service for me.
Play The Godfather, now at ChumbaCasino.com.
Welcome to the family.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 21 plus. Terms and conditions apply.
This is CBS Eye on the World. I'm John Batchelor. Gordon Chang, at Gordon G. Chang, my colleague and co-host and friend. We go to David Maxwell, recently returned from the Korean Peninsula. David is the vice president of the Center for Asia-Pacific Strategy. David, there is an alarmed headline in CNN. North Korean troops seen being equipped in Russia ahead of likely deployment to Ukraine. That information conjoins with information, gossip, I've heard over this last week, that North Korean soldiers are in Ukraine and that some of them, it is said, rumor, gossip, have defected in the guise of surrendering to the Ukrainians. What can you tell us about how this news is being reported in Seoul and its credibility? All of it, equipped in Russia, troops in Ukraine defecting. Good day to you, David.
Good day, and thank you for having me. This is big news in Seoul, and it is being talked about, reported in all the major media. I think it is more than rumors that, and I think certainly North Korea has had soldiers in Russia, because we should go back to consider how much ammunition and weapon systems, to include long-range rockets that have been provided to Russia from North Korea. Likely, North Korean technicians, engineers accompanied those systems to help the Russians employ them. And so it's likely that there have already been some troops there. These are reports now of potential combat formations. They may independently operate, or as we're seeing in some of the video reports, obvious North Koreans, small little men, being issued Russian uniforms, Russian equipment. So it's likely that if they're employed, they could be integrated into Russian units as North Korean cannon fodder for Putin's war. And so we're really seeing the desperation of Russia and its weakness of its military because of the losses, and also the desperation of North Korea to provide manpower, its mercenary manpower, really in return for hard currency, but also likely technological support for its advanced weapon systems, perhaps to include ICBM technology and guidance systems and things like that. Now, the reports of 18 soldiers defecting, I have not seen confirmation on that, and I would hope that the Ukrainians would provide more information on that if, in fact, it's true. But if that happened, it is a very significant event, because it demonstrates the breakdown of the North Korean People's Army, their three chains of control. We, of course, talk about command and control. The North Koreans, it's about control and command. And they have three chains of control within their military. The traditional chain from general to private, the political officer chain, like any communist army, a political officer at each level. And they had a third measure of a security officer at each level of command. And so you really have three chains of control. And for 18 soldiers to defect, that is a significant indication of a breakdown in the coherency of the North Korean People's Army. And that could have significant effects over time.
Gordon, you have a question for David.
David, if the North Koreans are being sprinkled through Russian units, will they have a problem of communication, of language?
Likely, yes. Although there's some military language, hand signals, things that are common, that don't require verbal. But yes, I imagine that they will have communications problems. There will be some Koreans who have Russian language capability and some Russians who have Korean language capability. But I think that if there is, in fact, that sprinkling of, you know, that integration of Koreans and Russian units, that's another indication of the desperation, the measures that they're willing to go to take that risk and those difficulties of communication, to be able to put, you know, to be able to mass humans, to be able to attack and defend. And so it's another indication of the weakness and desperation of the Russians.
David, what happens to the families of, if there is fact in the defection story, what happens to their families and their friends back home?
Well, North Korea has the rule of threes, and so anybody who demonstrates disloyalty, three generations are usually punished, and they will go to the gulags. Your parents, your immediate family, and your children, you know, will probably be punished. You know, up to including perhaps execution of some, to make an example of them. So yes, the if those 18 defected, we can expect three generations of their families to suffer tremendously.
Gordon, you have a question.
Dave, why wouldn't the Russian military keep the North Koreans together in units and have them fight separately?
Well, they may, and that would be the smarter thing to do, because that would you know, give them a better, you know, more potentially more effective unit. So it really remains to be seen, and we will need to see Ukrainian reports of whether they're fighting, you know, whether they're finding individual Koreans in Russian units or if they are seeing Korean formations maneuvering on the battlefield. So, and of course, the other thing is that they could be employed in other ways, in combat support units, in artillery units, things like that. But if we see them, as I said, if they see them integrated in Russian units, Russia's really desperate. If they are trying to, you know, if they're willing to employ them as units, then that would show some, you know, some common sense on the Russian part. But, it, you know, it's really dependent on what Russia thinks they need to be successful.
David, my understanding is that North Korea maintains a very large standing army, potentially in the millions. And is there any reason for North Korea to hold that back? It's a cash and carry business, isn't it? They get paid for this. So the more troops, the more money.
Well, it's likely. I mean, we don't know what the compensation is, but North Korea has deployed its military around the world. And, you know, often in the guise of civilian, but most of the construction workers that deploy around the world are North Korean military engineers, and other military forces. But yes, they have a 1.2 million man standing army, which is the fourth largest in the world. And so, you know, they could demand compensation, you know, per soldier, per unit, either hard currency or, as we talked about, technology for advanced systems that North Korea is really seeking. I'm sure that Putin and Kim are working out an advantageous deal for both of them to be able to use this manpower in ways that Putin will find effective for Putin's war.
Gordon, a question, because it's logical. Is there any reason to believe that these troops wouldn't also be joined by Chinese troops?
Yeah, that's a great question. I don't think the Chinese are going to do that right now. The reason why they find Vladimir Putin so beneficial and so important for their plans is because he does what they want to do but are afraid of. They do not want to come out front. If they were to put Chinese troops in Ukraine, then it would be a confirmation that we do face an axis. And that would change the policies of the West in fundamental ways. And the Chinese don't want to do that.
And I think North Korea provides China with a perfect cutout. They provide the manpower, they provide the equipment, and China can appear to have its hands clean, you know, while both, you know, North Korea is doing Chinese bidding. And they have the added benefit where we think that the relations between China and North Korea are declining, when in fact, I doubt that's really true. I think the relations between China, Russia, and North Korea remain the same. And we should not forget in all of this that Kim Jong-un is following in the footsteps of his father and grandfather, and he will try to manipulate both Putin and Xi for his own ends. And so while we look at these relationships, we should think that and understand that they are not alliances in our sense of alliances based on trust and shared values and long history of working together. They just don't have that experience really since the Korean War.
David, Thanksgiving 1950, was it more likely then that the Chinese would come in as they did in Korea than now compared to the Chinese coming in Ukraine? Are we ready for that possibility? There is history here.
Yeah, I you know, of course, the Chinese came in, started infiltrating in October of 1950 and the first major battle on November 5th in 1950. But I agree with Gordon. I think it's highly unlikely. But as you are alluding to, we must be prepared for every contingency and we should not be caught flat-footed. So, you know, I would examine that, but I'm with Gordon and I think it's unlikely. And as I said, I think it makes more sense for China to use North Korea as a surrogate, as a proxy for its interests. And I think Kim Jong-un right now is serving that purpose for Xi Jinping.
David Maxwell, Vice President, Center for Asia Pacific Strategy, Gordon Chang, at Gordon G. Chang.
Stay tuned for more of CBS Eye on the World with John Batchelor.
Step into the world of power, loyalty, and luck.
I'm going to make him an offer he can't refuse.
With family, cannolis, and spins mean everything.
Now, you want to get mixed up in the family business.
Introducing The Godfather at ChumbaCasino.com. Test your luck in the shadowy world of The Godfather slot.
Someday, I will call upon you to do a service for me.
Play The Godfather now at ChumbaCasino.com.
Welcome to the family.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 21 plus. Terms and conditions apply.